We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Andre Melle in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed, and welcome once again to Just a Minute, the game in which verbal dexterity is only exceeded by verbal ingenuity. And it's my pleasure to welcome these four gay exponents of the game and ask them to speak, if they can, for just 1 minute on some unlikely subject without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. And according to how well they do it, they will gain points, or their opponents will. And if there's anything that sounds a bit different, it's because my voice has gone down 3 octaves due to a cold. Let us start with Kenneth Williams. Kenneth, the question for you to start with is, my socks. We've often seen them on show in this programme, but will you now please talk about them for 60 seconds, starting now?
It is opportune that the subject has been, so to speak, handed to me on a plate, because I happen today to be wearing 2 pairs of socks. One composed of nylon, and the other, my haberdasher assures me, a mixture of Orlon and pure wool, for which the advertisements tell us there is no reliable substitute. I believe that thermal heat generated by this substance has no equal in any part of the world. English, of course.
Peter Jones has challenged.
A repetition of equal. It's no equal, and he also said that made of equal parts of nylon.
Yes, he did indeed.
Wool.
That's very clever, yes. I must say that when he started off and said about his socks being on a plate, I thought that was very devious, but nobody got it. But it still kept going for 40 seconds. Peter, I agree with your challenge, so as it's a correct one, you gain a point, and you take the subject of my socks. 19 seconds left, starting now.
Mine are all dark blue. I have, I suppose, upwards of a dozen pairs, but they aren't very often worn together, because I favour...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
If they're all dark blue, they've got to be worn together.
Yes, there's a subtle difference there. He probably puts them in the drawer in pairs and says, I'll take one from that pair and one from that pair. But I think, logically, your challenge is correct, Clement, so I award a point to you and the subject, and there are 9 seconds left, starting now.
On the outskirts of the city of Mysore, there's a village called Mysocks, in which Indian washerwomen...
Did Kenneth's challenge come before the whistle?
No.
It didn't?
Just after.
It came a fraction too late, Kenneth, your challenge. So Clement Freud was speaking then when the whistle went, and whoever speaks when the whistle goes, which tells us, by the way, that 60 seconds is up, gains an extra point. It was on this occasion Clement Freud, so he has 2 at the end of that round. Peter has 1. Andre Melle and Kenneth have yet to score. And Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject is puns. 60 seconds starting now.
Not really my favourite kind of humour. I always feel that they are substitutes for wit and jokes. If you can't be funny, be punny, one might say. There are a number of very well-known ones. There's a joke going the round about...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Yes, he said joke twice.
Yes, I'm afraid you did, Peter. You repeated the word joke. 2 people challenged. The one who presses first eliminates the other 2. It was Kenneth Williams. Another point to you, Kenneth. Not another point, your first point, Kenneth. And you have 43 seconds for puns, starting now.
Charles Lamb, the great essayist, quotes one of the most beautiful examples when he says that an undergraduate approaching a gamekeeper said of the rabbit in his hand, is that your own hair or is it a wig? Now, that, I think, is a very fine example of this. Disagreeing with my colleague there, I think they can be very witty indeed. And I have made several puns and been commended. Mr. Ree, the brother of Sigmund, was approached at a UNESCO conference by a lady who said, ah, sweet Mr. Ree of life, at last I've found you.
Well,
I hope they heard that, because he blew the whistle right in the middle of my joke. He ought to have more sense, that fellow.
For the sake of this audience...
blowing off like that in the middle of your joke. It's ridiculous. I've heard of letting off steam, but there are certain occasions when you would feel...
Yeah, no, okay. Mr. Wensley swallowed his whistle in the middle of a
thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you want to finish the joke for the sake of the audience?
No, I won't bother.
All right, then. Anyway, Kenneth Williams is speaking on puns. When the whistle went, he gained the extra point for that. And the end of that round, he is in a commanding lead alongside Clement Freud and one ahead of the others. Oh. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject is quail. Can you tell us something about it in 60 seconds, starting now?
Quail is a small game bird, delicate to eat and much prized gastronomically. They were caught, all quails.
Andre Melly challenged first.
The hesitation.
Yes, you got him first with the hesitation. And you gain a point, Andre. And we're going to hear from you the first time. 47 seconds to go, starting now.
They are caught in rather nasty little traps and kept in special cages.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
They're not caught in traps.
Well,
they
I wouldn't have thought
are caught
so.
In nets.
Yes, birds is rather difficult. I think that's a right challenge, Clement. You have a point. And you have 42 seconds on quails, starting now.
There are parts of the world in which animals lie on their backs attempting to trip up quails, but this was so sensationally unsuccessful. There are now many quail farms in this country where they're reared in captivity, and unfortunately the taste of the, as it were, factory bird is very inferior to those which were wild, caught in nets, which I haven't said before, only I use the word in a challenge on Andre Melly's absurd.
Andre Melly is challenged.
Deviation. He's talking about challenging me and not
yes,
about
Yes, I
quail.
Quite agree, Andre. Right. A very good challenge. He's left the subject of quails and got on to challenging you, so you get the subject back, and there are 12 seconds for you on quails, starting now.
They are kept in these special cages for 6.5 weeks.
Kenneth Williams are challenged.
She already said they were kept, and now she's saying she's kept again. So it's the same round she said kept twice, so she's yes. repetition.
I agree, Kenneth. Don't say it as if you think I'm never going to agree with you. That's right. 9 seconds for you on quails, Kenneth, starting now.
There is another kind of quail, and that is when people are appalled at something and you say they visibly quailed as they heard this appalling announcement, you see.
Once again, Kenneth Williams is speaking when the whistle went, which gives him in a bigger lead. He has now 4 points. And Andre Melly, it is your turn to begin. The subject is the greatest invention of our age. My. That timing in the audience was worthy of a professional man. Can you do it every time
what?
I give them the subject? And Andre, you've now had a moment to think. And would you tell us what you think is the greatest invention of our age in 60 seconds, starting now?
In this scientific age in which we live, it is extremely difficult to select the greatest invention. Is it perhaps penicillin, which has saved so many countless lives, or the pill, which, through stopping overpopulation, may mean that we can survive after all? No, I think...
Clement Freud, you've challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, she began to think and she hesitated. So, Clement, you have a point, correct challenge, 42 seconds, the pill... Oh, I'm sorry, no. The greatest invention of our age, starting now.
Before one can assess the greatest invention of our age, you have to be fairly careful to work out how many years you have been on this world. Otherwise, you might choose the wheel of a great invention, which, of course...
Peter Jones is challenged.
Deviation. He's talking about the wheel, which is, he admits, belonging to another age.
Yes, but he said, depending on how many years you've been here... You
well, might... I know he can't have been here that long.
Feels like it.
The greatest invention of our age. I do think, Peter, it does refer to one's own age. No. But I know what Clement Freud means. One talks about an age stretching back hundreds of years.
Oh, I know what
wheel.
He means.
Peter,
he's quite articulate. But he is deviating.
No, I think I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt because we're trying to, I think, to talk about our recent age. So you have the subject with 27 seconds left, the greatest invention of our age, starting now.
I think it's probably the radio, invented by an Italian and enabling us all to listen.
Andre Melly has challenged.
No, it isn't possibly the radio. He's just sucking up because he wants to keep his job and we can't have that sort of sycophantic behaviour. Now, they have this deviation. It's not true. It's not the greatest invention.
Peter Jones has another point, and... I want to keep my job as well. 19 seconds left for the greatest invention of our age, starting now.
Enabling us all to listen on Christmas Day in crofters' cottages and ships at sea, lighthouses.
Deviation.
Why?
It's not possible for all of us to get into crofters' cottages.
Well, I was going on to listen to other places.
No. You said enabling us all
to listen in crofters' cottages and ships at sea, lighthouses, skyscrapers, and public buildings.
Clement, it is perfectly possible to say that it does enable us all to listen in crofters' cottages. Peter did not say that we all were going to be in a crofters' cottage to listen.
So it would enable us
if we all had crofters' cottages to listen. So, Peter, you have another point, and you have 12 seconds for the greatest invention of our age, starting now.
Ships at sea, skyscrapers, and lighthouses, cottages.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Deviation.
No.
He's got an awful long way away from radios, which were his.
No, he's saying the radios reach skyscrapers and lighthouses. It's perfectly reasonable.
A long time ago.
I'm mentioning these places because...
Lovely. Doing marvellous.
I've got to mention these other places because he says we can't all get into the crofters' cottages.
I think the fact that he was interrupted so often, he was trying to pick up where he broke off before.
Makes it very difficult to go on.
I know it does.
I know. I just got in my stride, which is not easy to do.
You've got 6 seconds.
Six
You've had
seconds.
The benefit of the doubt more than once. You've got a lot of points, and you have the subject still starting now.
Much better than television.
Honorary Mellie.
Hesitation, he didn't start.
No, absolutely wrong. 6 seconds, Peter, starting now.
Much better than television because you can't see the people, which often gives you quite an erroneous idea.
Peter Jones was then speaking when the whistle went. In fact, he did most of the speaking in that round, so he gained the extra point, and you will not be surprised to hear that he has doubled... He's octopied. Is that the right word? Multiplied by 8, the number of points he had in that round. And Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. How I affect others. And the audience are very amused by the thought, so will you like to tell us how you affect others in 60 seconds, starting now?
Like most people in the world, in various ways. Some fall about and think it's all too utterly delicious. And others write offensive letters like, why don't you shut your great mouth and learn how to be good-mannered on the programme. I have that sort of thing come in. Most of them, I am here to say, are cowardly enough to put no address on the top of the letter. Otherwise, they'd get a right stinker from me.
Clement Freud has challenged you.
A repetition of letter.
I'm afraid you did say letter before. As you were talking about letters, it was difficult not to. You should have gone to epistle or missive or something else.
Yes.
Clement, you have the subject. 27 seconds, starting now.
Unlike Kenneth Williams' correspondence, the epistles that I receive are all in the same vein. What is so pleasing is that everybody dislikes me. I get...
Peter Jones is challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think he waited for a round of applause.
No, I want...
You've got the applause now, Clement, I'm sure they don't, but I'm afraid you did pause after thought of how much they all disliked you. So Peter Jones has a point, and there are 13 and a half seconds on how I affect others, Peter, starting now.
Well, of course, I don't know very much about this because the majority of people keep it a secret and try not to reveal their true feelings.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Deviation, he knows a lot about it. He's got bags of fan mail come in, so he's got masses of reaction to go by. It's all lies to say he doesn't know about his effects on others. Absolute lies. I know all about it. Yeah, thank you. Yes.
I'm glad I allowed you to go on, because once you said it was all lies, I know now that your challenge is wrong, because it can't be lies. There must be many, many people. Peter Jones has no idea how he affects them.
Exactly.
So, Peter, you have another point in 4 seconds on how I affect others, starting now.
Out of the 50 million people in this country, more people don't write to me than do.
No, Andre challenged before the whistle.
Half a second.
Yes, you got him before the whistle.
Two peoples.
Yes, there were two peoples. You challenged very well, Andre. You have half a second on this subject, starting now.
Sweetness and light.
Andre Melly was almost speaking when the whistle went, and she gets a point for that all the same. And Andre Melly, Clement Freud, Kenneth Williams are all just about equal in second place. Peter Jones is still very definitely in the lead. And Peter, your turn to begin. Questions I never ask. Can you tell us about some of them starting now?
Have you stopped beating your wife? And is your husband coming back before midnight? In which case, would you like to come and have dinner with me tonight? Can you think of a restaurant which is cheaper than the one we went to last time? These are some of the questions which I wouldn't dream of asking, because I feel the answer might easily land me in worse trouble than I am already. Other people may be of the opinion that if they could be persuaded to make a hazard a guess,
Clement Freud is challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think there was just a hesitation there, Peter. Clement, I agree. You have the subject. You have 26 seconds. Questions I never ask, starting now.
Does your mother take in washing? Has she sold her What's become of the old piano your sister used to strangle? Has your father plenty of work? Does he still get booze, too?
Andre Melis.
Two does is nothing, two has is.
Two doses, two hases, yes. But
there was only one does.
Was there only one does?
Yes.
I'll put it to the audience. You are the final judges. Would you agree with Andre's challenge on does and has, which are small words? If you agree with Andre, cheer. If you think she's wrong, boo. And will you all do it together now?
What?
Somebody wave. What did you... I think the woman who waved was right. It's about equal, wouldn't you say?
Just about equal.
Does his, has his, finished it. No points, no nothing, nothing awarded. Clement Freud keeps the subject. 14 seconds. Questions I never ask, starting now.
If you were to drive a 31 bus down Piccadilly, would you exact fares from a Boy Scout who got on at Oxford Circus? This is a question which I'd never ask anyone because, frankly, I've never travelled on that...
Well, Clement Freud was then speaking when the whistle went, got the extra point, and I must say to dear Mr. Thought of the Game that I think his subjects are now getting more devious. Right, the next subject is for Clement Freud to begin with. Why I'm seldom wrong, Clement, is the subject. You have 60 seconds, starting now.
The only possible answer to the question why I'm seldom wrong has got to be because I'm invariably right. And the reason for this is the wealth of knowledge which I've acquired in what could be called a long life. If you asked me to explain Pythagoras, I would do so readily. Anyone who wishes information about differential calculus has only to come to me. Why am I seldom wrong? Here you have it. Education, erudition, intellect, and a brain power second only to Kenneth Williams, who is about to buzz, but I hope will now refrain from being so beastly as to interrupt this flow of rhetoric which I have worked upon.
Well, he did work very, very hard. He deserved that round of applause and the extra point for speaking when the whistle went, and I think everybody was straining for him to finish and nobody wanted a challenge. Well done, Clement. The subject is now for you, Andre, and it is... Oh, I just let you know, by the way, as a result of Clement Freud's flow of rhetoric, he has now gone into the lead alongside Peter Jones at the end of that round. Andre Melly and Kenneth Williams are about halfway behind, together equal in second place. And, Andre, it is your turn to begin. The subject is jesters, and would you talk to us about them for 60 seconds, starting now?
These were to be found in the courts long ago. They wore motley, which was a kind of coloured suit, and bells on their hats, and carried a small stick with a face at the top of it. They were supposed to be funny and were kept housed and fed if they were. If they weren't, when asked to be, they said some... Oh.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, dry up, pack up. There are 35 seconds for Jesters Clement, starting now.
Historically, these were very much the sort of people described by Ms. Melly. But nowadays, any comedian, almost anyone appearing on television in a programme said to be of a nature close to comedy.
Andre Melly is challenged.
Hesitation.
I think so, yes. Indeed. The justice.
The same as returning your.
Yeah, thank you.
I think it was drying you all up. There are 22 seconds for you on jesters, Andre, starting now.
Shakespeare has many characters who are jesters, Touchstone, Feste, and the fool in Lear, who is the most interesting of them all, being wise, clever, intelligent, and cynical, as many comedians are when you get to know them personally.
Another hesitation, which you picked up first, Clement. 4 and a half seconds on jesters, starting now.
A lady I met on a bus the other day said, I do enjoy Jest a Minute, and I said, it should be pronounced...
That was a nice thought, which I think deserved the extra point for speaking when the whistle went, Clement. You've now got a lead of 3 over Peter at the end of that round. And Peter, your turn to begin again. Bedsteads. Can you talk to us about those things, necessary things, for 60 seconds, starting now?
They have a race in Cambridge, and people lie on bedsteads and are driven or pushed or otherwise propelled along the main roads of this city in the...
Kenneth Williams got him first.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed. And so, Kenneth, you take over the subject of bedsteads. 45 seconds, starting now.
Well, of course, the greatest one is it where? The great bed of where, you see. They all...
Peter challenged twice.
No, I only challenged once. I think Andre challenged.
Oh, I see, yes.
Well, what's she challenging about?
Where?
Where?
Said where.
No, the first was W-A-R-E. The second one was W-H-E-R-E.
He was very clever, saying the great bed of where.
Yes, very repetitious.
All I can say is be wary, Kenneth. You might trip yourself up. Right, you have a point for a clever line which foxed them, Kenneth, and you have 39 seconds on bedstead starting now.
And in this aforementioned bedstead, they said as many as 7 could all sleep together. And they also added that the propinquity would be great fun. Well, I never tried anything like it myself, of course, but I have been reliably assured.
Clement Freud has challenged you. Why?
Usual.
What?
Of course.
He hasn't said of course
yes,
before.
Yes, he started the whole
thing. Yes, he did. He started the whole thing with of course. Do you agree with me, audience? I think you're biased and prejudiced. Thank you for reassuring me that you are. I now know that I was right and Clement has the point for a correct challenge, and there are 25 seconds left starting now.
Of course, bedsteads have
a number of... Williams has challenged
hesitation. He took ages to start.
He took ages to start because he was trying to think of how to get in, of course, so that you would challenge him. He was being very sporting.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
But he... but he did hesitate, and I agree, and he was really trying to help you, Kenneth, because he wants you to talk about the bedsteads. I think, like me, he's fascinated about the propinquity in the bedstead. So it's your turn, take up your propinquity and carry on with your bedstead. And there are 23 seconds left, starting now.
Handmade ones.
Peter Jace. Peter Jace. Peter, you challenge.
Hesitation.
I agree with Peter's challenge. He gains a point and 20 seconds for bedsteads, starting now, Peter.
Well, I was telling you about this competition.
Kenneth wins a challenge.
Deviation. He's not told us anything about any competition.
He was telling about the competition in Cambridge where they pushed the bedsteads down the main street. Peter, you have another point and you have 13 seconds for bedsteads starting now.
I'm very fond of brass ones with a lot of curly bits of metal all around each end. And the 4 posters with wood and hung with rich draperies with curtains which pull, giving one privacy and a certain...
I'm sorry to have to tell you we have no more time in this particular game. Peter Jones was then speaking when the whistle went. He gained an extra point. He got a few points in that last game. And he crept up quite a bit on Clement Freud. But just let me give you the final score. Kenneth Williams was in 4th place, only 1 point behind Andre Melly in 2nd place, who was quite a bit behind Peter Jones, who didn't quite get back to beat Clement Freud, who was once again our winner, Clement Freud. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch. We'll be right back.